Well, this will be a quick introduction to what modern paladin means and the concepts behind all the stuff you'll find on the site and in the book. And if I were to do a live class or some other kind of sermon or such about this subject, this is kind of a way to understand it. It's not that difficult, but there's two ways to approach the idea of modern paladin. First of all is the definition itself. So modern paladin, okay, what do those words mean specifically? Well, paladin is a holy warrior. I chose this word because it sort of stands out. It's very different. Not everybody knows it. And it goes back historically to the time after the Roman Empire, but before sort of the Renaissance and the modern age, when there was a struggle. This time of Charlemagne and other people like that, which developed a thing called the Holy Roman Empire. Well, this time was called the Dark Ages. And so the word paladin in many ways refers to being a holy warrior within the Dark Ages. Now, those Dark Ages were referred to as such because they were the middle time between the organization and the legal structures and the security of the Roman Empire and the modern European structures that arose from the latter Middle Ages and the Renaissance. But I like that term Dark Ages as it applies to now. In the 21st century, in the world we're in, a world of 9/11s and ISIS and just mass amounts of teen suicides and murders and terrorism. What most modern Christian philosophers believe to be the end times. Of course, we don't know for sure. As I sit here making this recording, there's predictions of the end of the world coming soon, and there always are predictions of that, and certainly it's always possible. It is imminent. It can happen at any time. But the time that we're in is certainly the Dark Ages. And so the word paladin, referring back to the peers of Charlemagne, so this is sort of the founding of the Holy Roman Empire. It's something called the Carolingian dynasty. That's why we represent the paladins with the Carolingian cross. It's sort of a Celtic thing mixed with a cross, a fascinating history to it. But it's very symbolic of being a warrior for God in a time of darkness. Now, of course, the word modern brings us into the present time. We're not talking about history. Excuse me. We're not talking about the paladins of Charlemagne themselves. We're not talking about the other uses of the word. We're talking about the modern usage of the word, which is a holy warrior, very dedicated, very honorable holy warrior, fighting for God, for the kingdom of God, in a dark time and in the modern dark time. And so that's what modern paladin means when it comes to the definition. So what does that play out as? Well, we're not talking about swords and horses, obviously. We're talking about apologetics. We're talking about defending the word on a public setting with the attacks increasing daily from the atheist world, from the scientific community, only a small part of the scientific community, I might add. Keep in mind that the rhetoric used by the atheist intellectual leaders is very well organized, very well orchestrated. They try to usurp the concept of things like reason. And keep in mind that this idea is absolutely ludicrous. A firm belief system in anything, whether it is evolution or not, whether it is the way gravity works or not, these things are all highly theoretical explanations. They call them theories within science. To believe a series of these theories is a belief system. You can choose to believe that the world was created or that it randomly occurred. In either case, you're choosing to believe something because you don't have definitive proof. They'll try to explain that they have definitive proof, but of course, as you dig deeper and deeper, we get to the world of ancient galactic history or ancient genetic history, and it becomes theoretical, and once again it becomes a belief system. Then the purpose of this introduction is not to argue about apologetics, but only to say that the attacks have increased steadily throughout the world on Christian leaders, and therefore a defense must be developed. What is a paladin? It's a holy warrior, a knight, and that means defending. It also relates to Ephesians 6, the idea of the whole armor of God. We have a very solid biblical metaphor for what we are to do and how we are to live as defenders of the word through this armor of God. And of course, a paladin would be adorned in the armor of God. So this is a very biblical concept relating directly to Ephesians 6 and all throughout the Bible. From Joshua, or even before Joshua, it is all the way through Paul. And so this is a very solid biblical concept, the apologetics, the fighting in the name of the Lord, the defending. Now, we're not talking about violence. We're talking about in the press, in the media, in our language, in our lives. We're talking about our ministries. We're talking about our testimonies. We're talking about our representation of the Word and of God and the clarity and the truth and the beauty of these things. So this discussion is quite relevant, but this is the term modern paladin. Now, when it comes to activation of this, what does this group look like? Where does it arise from? How does it work? And so the second definition I'll give you is based upon an analysis of the world and the people in it. Now, if you look at every single person in the world, the first division you can make is believers and non-believers. So there are people that are believers or claim to be believers or stand up and say, yes, I am a Christian. I do believe in God and Jesus Christ. And that may be a billion. It may be 2 billion. It may be 1.1 billion. And, you know, it's the numbers are all different. But let's just assume that that's something in the range of a billion people. But among those people, a great deal of them are not very serious. They're what we call cultural Christians or marginal Christians. You know, at least half and probably significantly more are what you would call marginal Christians. They go to church or they have a family that goes to church. They don't disbelieve. They would say that they believe on paper. They would pray occasionally or think about praying if they were in a dangerous situation. But they're not really a think about God every day, base your life on God, go to church all the time, try to do something for the world along those lines. They're not really that kind of folks. If you want to have hardcore believers, what we call serious believers or believers with a capital B, people that go to church a lot, people that talk about it and think about it a lot, that read the word, that pray a lot, now you're going to be in a significantly smaller numbers. We may have 100 or 200 million, maybe more, of these folks. Now, among the believers with a capital B, among the hardcore kind of Christians, you have another division. So now we divided the whole population of the planet into believers and unbelievers. Then we divided believers into marginal and hardcore believers. Now inside of hardcore believers, we have a division. And that division is hardcore believers that are leaders and those that are there following and listening. Now, this is not a problem. Everybody can't be a leader. Everybody's not called by God to be a leader. But there are a group of these folks that are leaders that step up and lead other groups, train them, mentor them, disciple them. They're pastors and teachers and the other group we're about to talk about. But these people are a subgroup of the passionate followers of Jesus Christ, a subgroup of the believers with a capital B. Now, another subgroup of this believers are people that do something, missionaries, people that go out and do something. That doesn't have to be in a foreign country. It doesn't have to be a certain kind of mission. There's many different types of missions, but not everybody does something. The majority of Christians, even hardcore believers, have jobs and families and lives. They stay where they're at. They may occasionally do a short-term mission trip, but basically, they support the church. They believe, they read the Bible, they study, they go to classes and Bible studies. They're amazing, wonderful people. That's the main body of the main church. But there's a group of people that go out and do things, that go out into the world, and their profession, if you will, becomes God. The church, the mission of the you know, God telling us what to do, Jesus giving us the Great Commission, going out into the world, that idea, the Great Commission, becomes their Great Commission, becomes their, you know, their job. And that's a small group of people. So now, if we were to take the subset of hardcore capital B believers, that was the missionaries, and we were to take the subset of hardcore believers that was leaders, these two subsets, leaders and missionaries, within hardcore believers would intersect. That intersection, you can see those circles like a Venn diagram in your head. I'll post one of those online. Those circles intersecting there, that intersection would form who we are calling the modern paladin. Now, there's one more element, and that's the element of deep theological study. Think about it like this. You might be a fighter. You might want to fight. You might be able to fight. You might be able to defend. But do you train to fight? Everybody, if pushed to it, can fight. And the hardcore believers can all fight if pushed to it. But who's training to fight? Now, what are we trained to fight with? Well, in the case of this metaphor of the paladin or the holy warrior or the armor of God from Ephesians, we train to fight with a sword. And what does Ephesians say the sword is? It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That means the sword is the Word. So training, like a knight would train in weaponry, to fight the battles and defend the Word. To train means to study the Word extremely deeply. Does this make sense? So now imagine a cross-section within the hardcore believers section of the world, hardcore daily prayer Christian believers, the kind of people that pray at the table in public restaurants, the kind of people that go to church more than once a week. Within that group of hardcore believers, there's three subsets. One is missionaries, one is leaders, and one is the theologians, the hardcore studiers of the Word, preparing themselves to defend the Word, drawing themselves closer to God, deeper into the Word, stronger in the Word. Just imagine the intersection of those three groups, and now you can begin to see the importance of what we call the modern paladin. So, the modern paladin is a church leader, a leader of small groups or pastor type figure, but one that's a missionary, one that's out on the mission field, whether it's locally or worldwide, that's dedicated their lives to representing and fighting for the church, and a deep theologian who's studying the Word very, very deeply and coming to understand the instructions within the Word and what's being told to us within the Bible, how to function, how to act, what to do. You combine those three subsets of hardcore believer together, and the cross-referencing of all three sections is a very small group, which are the missionary theologian leaders of the hardcore Christian church. And those are the modern paladins. Their job is to fight for and defend the Word. Their job is to grow and defend the church and the kingdom of God. They are the warriors, the special forces, in charge of defending the kingdom of God on the planet and raising up others through discipleship, adult leadership programs, discipleship programs, training others to do the same as leaders. And that is the modern paladin.